so they are segregated in that way. But there's a possibility we could change this. We maybe the boundaries between the two zones to expand the C3 even further, and possibly, and these items are all talked about in the general plan, and there's seats planted in the general plan language about really looking at Main Street in two ways, maybe having kind of a more walkable Main Street area around the town square, and then maybe spacing things out a little bit so it's more of a, for lack of a better term, kind of a rural Main Street where there's more setback, there's more open space and greenery between the buildings the farther you go to the east towards Heber, for instance. So kind of having a walkable area and more of a spaced out area with views of the mountains, if at all possible, and open space. And then also looking at the parcels themselves. Right now there's not a landscaping or open space requirement for any of the commercial, and so we could create kind of a ratio system where you have to have so much greenery per impervious surface, and it also could be really on a three-dimensional basis too. So that would also limit the size of the structures. So some of those things, probably in the C2 zone, maybe not in the C3 zone. So those are kind of the long-term vision issues that we're gonna be looking at as we move forward. The signage is a big part of that. Some of the points of discussion, limiting impervious area per commercial property, possibly limiting building volume, requiring staggering for walls so we don't have a wall effect on some of the larger buildings. Possibly dividing Main Street into a walkable area and a rural area. And so we'd be looking at setbacks and landscaping codes in those areas. Mm-hmm. And then also trying to preserve the historic structures by maybe giving them some leniency on some of the code areas, especially regarding parking. We've already adjusted things for driveways. That way, helping property owners to meet code requirements, but if they have a historic structure, giving them a little bit of leeway. So otherwise, you force some of the buildings to be demolished in order for somebody to really use their property. And we want to try to encourage preservation as much as possible. Some of the structures on Main Street, though, they're a hard conversion from residential to commercial. And so some of them probably won't be saved, but we want to do whatever we can to save them. So that was our discussion. There's quite a bit more to come on this.
I know part of that discussion was to try to get traffic off of Main Street and maybe improve Mitchie Lane. I do not think that is a wise thing. Mitchie Lane is already a fast thoroughfare where people blow through stop signs. You have schools that bookend both ends of Mitchie Lane. You have a park that sits right there. There are tons of kids. I think if anything's going to happen to Mitchie Lane, I mean, when they completed the west end, when they made the west end of Mitchie Lane an actual road that you could go through, just invited more traffic, and unless there's going to be traffic control or some other type of mechanism to slow traffic down, that is an accident waiting to happen.
Yeah, there's quite a few things to consider, that's for sure. Even along Main Street, we're looking into traffic control to slow people down. And it's difficult because UDOT owns Main Street, and there are certain things they just will not do yet. We're hoping at some point in the future they'll be open to like race crosswalks and those types of things. So quite a bit more discussion on this one. Any other comments? So Old Trace Hollow Annexation. This is a 3.5-acre property just north of the lodges of Snake Creek that fronts on the Pine Canyon Road. This has been going through the annexation process for the past roughly 6 months or so. This is a copy of the proposed subdivision. So their next step, they did receive approval for annexation. Now the annexation plat's being sent to the state Lieutenant Governor's office for review and approval. But once that does come back and it is approved, then they'll apply for a small-scale subdivision for this one lot. And kind of the key to this is the annexation agreement ties them to just one lot on the 3.5 acres. They can never come in and further subdivide, so it's kind of a one-way street for them. But they are moving forward. And let's get that twice. So the next thing is we looked at the conditional use permit for what was the Filler Up Coffee property for changing the, what was the commercial kitchen, that building to the north, back into a residence. So the conditional use permit was reviewed and approved by the city council, so their next step is building permits on this one. And there's a copy of Filler Up Coffee, and that's the back building that has been a commercial kitchen for a number of years, now will be a home again. All right, that is the liaison report for today.
Thank you. You said something that reminded me, you mentioned UDOT. Wes, what's the deal with the stoplight on River Road? Any update on that?
Yeah, Wes and I have been meeting with UDOT almost weekly for quite a while now. And they are moving forward. They basically have to go in and get temporary easements from the property owners between 300 East and 500 East because they're going to upgrade Main Street for those two blocks to match our profile that we have on the five main blocks here on Main Street. And so that takes some effort to get to that point. It's amazing how many individuals are involved at UDOT. I mean, there's like 20 people in some of the meetings that, and they all have different jobs. You know, utilities or acquisition of easements, engineers, utilities, everything that you can think of. And so the plan is that this fall they would start on the utility work for that two block area. So it's not just installing a light, it's in, you know, it's expanding the road and the park strip and everything that comes along with Main Street, the whole stretch, and burying the power lines, for instance, on the along the south side of the road over those two blocks. So quite a bit involved in that. We've worked on the street lights recently. I don't know if you've noticed the street lights have been upgraded along Main Street. Is that complete now, Wes, or how close
it's
are we?
Completed to 100 East.
So we're slowly moving our way from 200 West to 100 East, and street lights in this stretch, you know, they'll be our new street light standards. We can pay extra money to UDOT to, you know, have the traffic light poles painted a certain way like we did on Center Main, so we did that. Embellishments is what they call it. And so they'll match our other street poles that we've got. But there's quite a bit involved in it. Their hope is that they'll be done by Swiss days of next year with all of the upgrades for the traffic signal. Hopefully sooner than that, but that's the goal.
Great, thanks. Okay, I guess it's time to get started. We welcome Craig here, and we've got a full contingent here. Welcome, Kelly. Welcome back.
I'm back.
And so, because we've got everybody here, then I guess our alternates are free to participate, but don't need to vote tonight. So, with that, Kelly's going to offer the invocation.
Our Father in heaven, we come before thee at this time in prayer with gratitude in our hearts that we have this beautiful community that we can live in and enjoy. We're grateful for this opportunity to serve on the Planning Commission, and we ask you to bless us to be mindful of the needs of the community and the things that we can do to preserve and to improve the quality of life that we do have here. We're grateful for the moisture that we've received and for this beautiful valley and all the many amenities that it does provide. We ask you to bless us through this meeting tonight, that thy spirit will guide us in our decisions of what we do. And we say these things in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, luckily I have my laptop so I can see the agenda. we don't have the agendas, right, in print?
Yeah, I kept flipping through.
Okay, So the first item on the agenda is to review and possibly approve the planning commission meeting minutes of July 9th, 2024. I was not here, but I did notice a couple of kind of typo incomplete things that I submitted, and those corrections have been made. Are there any other comments or corrections on the minutes that haven't been submitted? Okay, can we have a motion?
Make a motion that we approve the minutes of the July 9th, 2024 Planning Commission meeting as corrected.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
A motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. The last item on the agenda tonight is Midway City is proposing a code text amendment that would amend the sign code in the Midway Municipal Code. The proposed changes would update and clarify provisions in section 16.21 of the Midway Land Use Code regarding signage, design guidelines, standards, and regulations in all commercial, resort, and residential zones. So, Michael, do you want to lead us through this brief discussion?
All right, I'll try to make it brief, but we'll see where this ends up.
It's going to be a doozy.
It'd be great if it were brief, but yeah, we'll see. So, sign ordinance, really a couple of things with this is we spend, it seems to be quite a bit of time on signs. Seems like it's never ending, to be honest. And what that does is we found some problems with our sign code. And then there's also a lot of history with signage, and it becomes difficult to move forward when people can point at signs that maybe don't meet quite code requirements. And some things that we have pushed through the Visual and Architectural Committee, like sign depth, aren't listed in the code directly. And so there's some definite holes in the code that we're trying to fix with this. And we've looked at a number of different ordinances from communities around Utah. We talked to a couple of different sign companies that we work with to see what their experience is with signage in other communities, because they deal with sign codes all over the state. So we feel like we've got some of the best examples to look at. And then with the experience that we've got here in Midway, kind of created something unique to Midway through this process. And we have spent quite a few hours on this at this point.
I'm waiting for me to start to hit me with things like that.
Had to have a little more free time to, and brain power too, to tackle some of these things. And we have spent quite a bit of time with the Visual and Architectural Committee. We started back roughly in January with them. We've been before them, I think, four times going over this ordinance and talking through the different issues. So hopefully it's polished up, you know, to a point that is agreeable to those on the Planning Commission, but we can definitely make whatever adjustments that you'd like or keep our same code if you'd like. So hopefully that's not the case. And we'll make some adjustments that will be beneficial to everybody. But some of the reasons behind this amendment is this will outline design requirements better than what we've got in our current code. Dimensions is a big thing that we're hitting on here. Really right now, if you have a very small building, you get the same size sign that like the Midway Market would get. And that's really not fair. You know, there should be some ratio involved in that. So that's one thing that we tackle. Styles is another thing that is part of this. Permitted uses and non-permitted uses is a big part of this also. Event signs and bolt and pole banners are also included. So we cover quite a bit of ground with this. And it's amazing, if you work on signs in any way, it seems rather simple initially, but the more you get into it, the more complicated this gets. So that's what I found over time. So again, some of the reasons with the growth in Midway and changes in technology, many of the code provisions have become outdated or too vague to address with current questions and issues. Trying to address that. Ambiguities in the current code negatively affect enforcement. And then proposed sign code better reflects the vision of Midway City, provides more information, examples to residents and business owners, and facilitates consistency in signs and enforcement. And we're trying to make it usable, somebody can read it and understand it, though it does get kind of complicated, so we'll walk through this. So this is a